Well, amen. Praise God. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to do the second part of this message of the salvation by the power of God. You know, when we find in the word of the Lord that it gives us various commands, that there's an assumption that is made there that you know that Jesus has completed the work for you and I. He's not telling you and I in our own power or our own might to obey this or to obey that. Now, yes, I do give my heart to be found obedient to the Lord. I do make decisions, but the one that completes me in it and the one that brings me into the power to be able to do it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to you and I that we may receive in a reality the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really want you to hear that. You know, we don't live in a philosophy. We're not living simply in a doctrine. You know, there's so many that think if they just have their doctrine right, you know, that makes them right with the Lord, that's what it's about, getting the doctrine right. You can have all of the doctrine right, and then you yourself, in a personal way, be completely wrong. You know, because it's not simply a matter of what you know intellectually. There's a conforming work by the power of God to cause us to inherit what Jesus accomplished on the cross, not only on the cross, but also in his resurrection. Not only in his resurrection, but in his lordship, being seated at the right hand of God the Father. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has been given as a pledge. A pledge of what? A pledge of the fulfillment of that inheritance. And what is that inheritance? That inheritance is that he has brought many sons of God to glory. That's what the word of the Lord says. And that's who you are, and that's who I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to implement and to bring that finished works, that we're being conformed into the likeness of Jesus. This is what we call godliness. This is what is true godliness. This is what is really the work of righteousness. That our behaviors change, our thoughts change, our attitudes change, our mind change. Our whole mindset begins to transform into that mind of Christ. And also our behavior and our desires. I'm not changing myself. There are things about myself that I can never change. There are things about my flesh I can never change. But as I believe upon the Lord with all of my heart, then what's happening, if I may use this word, I'm tapping into the very power of Almighty God, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit do what only He can do. You know, this is the way of the Lord. This is the true power of the salvation of the Lord. I walk and I work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit of God. I work and I walk in cooperation with the Holy Spirit of God. But make no mistake about it, He'll be the one that'll bring forth the power to cause you and I to be transformed by the power of God, that we're being made according to His likeness. We're bearing His image. And this happens from our heart. And from our heart, it begins to flow out through the members of our body. It begins to affect our actions. It begins to affect our desires, the things that I used to desire that I now hate. And the things that I was bored with or had no heart for, I now love. And that's the ways of God and the things of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to go back to this place here in Romans chapter 10, and I'm going back to verse 9 and 10, and we'll look right here. It says that if you confess with your mouth, this is verse 9, if you confess with your mouth, and look at this, Jesus as Lord. I'm going to talk more about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but I said to you last week, and this is very important for you to receive and to know, and that is that when you confess anything of the word of God or the word of promise, what you're doing is that you are planting your feet in faith and you're saying, I make this my own. That's what you're doing. That's why your confession is so important. The Greek word for confess is the word homologa. And that word homologa means to say the same. This is how you receive the blessings of the Lord. This is how you receive the power of God. This is how things that have been given as promise in the Word of God come off the pages and they begin to be implemented in you, in your life. You begin to taste them. You begin to know them. You begin to experience them. They begin to be a part of you. And this is the working of the power of God. That's why it's so important about your confession. That's why he says that, I confess. And it means that I take it as my own. Then it goes on and it says this in that same verse, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the promise of God. I confess Jesus as Lord. That's what it says. I confess Jesus as Lord. And then I believe in my heart. And then the promise of Almighty God, you shall be saved. And you can see what it's saying right here very clearly, you know, that you're just implementing the things that have been promised you and accomplished for your behalf in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all you're doing is now taking it and making it your own. You're letting God have his way. You know, and so when we talk about the heart, if you remember, I'm not turning back there, but we qualified what that meant last week. And we found that in Deuteronomy, all of these are just quotes that are coming from Deuteronomy and Deuteronomy 30. Don't turn there this time. But let me just speak this. Deuteronomy 30 verse 11 said, if you turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul. So he qualified there in Deuteronomy. What do you mean when you say, you know, that you believe in your heart? Oh, yeah, you know, I believe it, yeah. Oh, yeah, let me think about it. Jesus raised from the dead, yeah, I believe that. I believe there's a God. You know, do I believe that Jesus is a Savior? Yeah, I believe that Jesus is a Savior. You know, that's not the kind of belief that we're talking about. And we're not talking about simply an intellectual recognition. We're talking about the heart. And the heart is different from the intellect. The heart is the true center of the man. It is the real you. What you really do when you give your heart, you give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a place of surrender. This is a place of surrender, like we prayed a minute ago. You're surrendering what? You're surrendering your heart. Giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. Now, what do you give him? You give him your whole heart. Not a little bit of your heart, not some of your heart, not most of your heart, not just the things you want to give him. You give it all. And you don't worry about the rest of it. You know, where you say, people get trapped in, well, you know, I'm going to get better. I'll get better, and then I'll give my heart to Jesus. No, you'll die in your sins. That's what you will do, because you will never get better. You will never get better. That's an evil trap. That's a trap. I got to get this out of my life. I've heard that so many times from people. You know, I got to get that out of my life. And when I get that out of my life, then I'll come to Jesus. And you know, they're putting it all on him, on themselves, you know, to make themselves better, clean themselves up. Jesus is not looking for you to clean yourself up. He's looking for you to give yourself to him the way that you are. He will clean you up. You yield to him, you let him have his way, and he will clean you up. And I don't care what kind of stronghold that you got. I don't care what it is that's been on you. I don't care how long that it's been on you. And your freedom and your liberty in all of that may be a pathway. I don't know. You know, you hear it all sorts of way. I hear those give testimony, they give their heart to Jesus, you know, and they're just free of everything, you know, that they ever were bound to. And then I hear others, you know, that love the Lord and they keep walking after that way. You know, there's mysteries that are there, but in that mysteries, the Holy Spirit knows how to turn my desire more toward him. And he uses wrestlings that go on in my life, if that makes sense to you. He uses wrestlings. Will you mark this place? Will you mark this place? And I want you to take a look at something. I want you to go over, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I just want you to see this for just a minute. There's a wrestlings that go on in our life. You know, and there's another references to it in the word of the Lord. It's like birth pains. Like we birth the character of Jesus in our life. The Holy Spirit moves us into that place. You know, many times what we feel is like, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord, but I feel like I'm on my own. I feel like it's all my self-effort. You know, we feel tried. You know, we will feel I'm exerting a lot of effort here. All I'm doing is failing. No, that's not really what's going on. The Holy Spirit has got His hand upon you. You may feel like you're exerting willpower or self-power or whatever it is, but the Holy Spirit is turning your desire. He's turning your will. He's bringing you to that wholehearted point that He sees in the realm of the inner man. And at that point, that grace of God begins to flow in your life. Freedom comes that you can't even explain. And the establishment of Him in you begins to flow. Now, look at this real quick so that you'll see this. You know, because a lot of times we don't understand what's happening to us. Let me read this. Isaiah 66, 9 says, it says, shall I bring, now this is the promise of God, shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Or shall I who gives delivery shut the womb, says your God? So, in other words, let's apply that, you know, to that birthing of the character of Jesus, that birthing of the life of Jesus. That's what's happening by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a promise of Almighty God. What is He going to do? Is He going to cause you to be born again and then not bring delivery of the person of Jesus in your life? You know, that's what the question is. No. If He gave you new birth, you've been born again by the Spirit of God. The birthing of Jesus is coming about. He will do it. Let's read this for a minute. It says in verse 1, it says, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, it talks about that, and those verses around verse 45, you know, talk about, you know, if there's a natural man, then there's also a spiritual man. You know, we're born into a natural man, and we're moving into that image of Jesus. The promise of fulfillment in Jesus is many sons come to glory. And what that means is that one day we will be made like Him. We will be made like Him. We will receive a glorified body that will be made in the likeness and the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have put on the Adam, and the Word of God says we'll put on the last Adam. He's not the second, He's the last Adam. You know, He's the new man of the Spirit. So this is the promise of Almighty God. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit has been given a pledge that these things will begin to be birthed in your life right now, but the completion will be coming one day when you're made like Him. Now, it goes on and says this. Verse 2, for indeed in this house we groan. Now, do you see that? That's part of the birth pains that we go through by the Spirit. We groan. Now, look, what are we groaning about? Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Now, you understand that these are godly inspired desires. The wicked do not desire the things that are being expressed right here. Ungodly men do not desire these things that are going on here. And we don't do it because we're simply so noble. This is because the Holy Spirit is moving upon us and these groanings begin to take place in our heart, in our spirit man. That word, groan, right there, is stenazo, and it means, transliterated into English, S-T-E-N-A-Z-O, and this is what it means. It means to groan within oneself, to grieve, or a grief, or a complaint. You know, so this image about, well, what all the Christian life is about is, you know, is walking on cloud nine and always being happy and wonderful is really not very scriptural whatsoever. You know, we are touched by things that go on in the world. And, you know, sometimes things happen to us because of decisions that we made. Sometimes things happen to us because of decisions that other people made, right? You know, this is just the way of life right here. But right now, right here in the Word of the Lord, he's talking about when you belong to Jesus, you long to be like him. You want to be pleasing to him. When he really is the Lord of your life, you have this longing. You have this grieving that comes on you. You may not even really fully identify it, but this is the groaning that the Spirit of the Lord brings. There's a birthing that's going on, and you begin to cry out for those things of the Spirit, those things of God that are like him, that are pleasing to him, because you want to belong to him fully in every way. Well, look at this. He goes on and he says this. Now, look on. And then we're going to read 2 again. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. In as much as we having put it on, shall not be found naked. And, you know, and he's not talking about the coat that I got on. And, you know, he's talking about in the spirit, naked in myself, but I'll be clothed in him. I'll be clothed in him. Let me read on. He goes on and he says, verse 4, for indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Do you see that? Because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal, mortal is that which is flesh. Am I right? That which is mortal is that which is of flesh. Now, so you see what's going on here? So in my inner man, this groaning, you know, to give birth to the person of Jesus begins to transform my will, begins to transform my desire. It even begins to change my mindset. And it's a birthing process. You ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, you know, that's why they call it labor, right? You know, you went into labor pains and you labored to give birth. And you gave birth. This is being described as a likeness here. And so we're grown and we grieve and we mourn deep within ourselves, at the same time experiencing Jesus, the power of God, his glory, his grace, and his presence. Now, look on here. Well, look on, he says, and then he's talked about this, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. That's Zoe, the life of God. All right, verse 5 says, now he who prepared, now look at this, he who prepared us for this very purpose. For what purpose? That we could be clothed and this direction of this birthing of this spiritual maturity that is working in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Look on, verse 5 again. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God. Now look at this part. Who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. As a pledge, you know. Or another word, as you know it, is earnest, right? You know, it's like you go buy property or house or whatever, and you, man, I want that. And you you give the earnest money, right? You know, you give the earnest money. And what does that earnest money mean? It means that it's a pledge that I'm good for the rest of it. I'm good for the rest of it. Do you see that? That's when the Holy Spirit has been given as a pledge. Now, do you read it in its context? Do you see what the Word of God is saying right there? You know, who prepared us for this walk and this way is the Spirit. These groanings that come, new life has come. Now, the Spirit's going to see that Jesus is birthed. He's birthed in you and me, that we're made like him. And then one day we shall be made like him totally and completely. We're all walking in that direction if you're in Jesus. Are you still understanding me? We're all walking. I got news for you. That in this body you're not going to live forever. Right? You're not going to live forever. One day you're going to lay this body momentarily, if you're in Jesus, in the grave. That's what you're going to do. You're going to lay it in. Now, the promise of God for the righteous is that we will experience the resurrection from the dead. Well, you know, we'll meet the Lord in the air and we will be resurrected. And we're not talking about sleeping in the grave either, right? You know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. You know, I'm not laying in the grave waiting to be woken for 25, 30, 40, 50 years or whatever it would be. Are you with me? What a crazy thought, right? Crazy doctrine. Absolutely crazy doctrine. And that's not what the Word of God is saying whatsoever. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, I'm with the Lord, but I'll be coming back with the Lord. You know, and those that remain will meet Him in the air, you know. But first, those that are in Christ that have gone on will be raised from the dead, made into His likeness. Where are you going to be through all eternity? Probably the biggest question that anybody ever asked you. You know, where are you going to be throughout all eternity? You may be doing very good. You may be in the prime of your life. You know, Solomon said, you know, that the prime of life is fleeting, right? You know, doggone it, just about the time it gets there, it starts going the other direction, right? You know, you're in the prime of your life. Oh, my goodness, man, what can I not do? What can I not, you know, accomplish in my life, in mind and body? And then whoops, 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 doggone it. It keeps getting away from me. I hope your hope is not in this world and not in this life. There are many blessings for living for the Lord. Many blessings for living for the Lord. And it's better to be blessed and live for the Lord and enter even into the sufferings of Jesus. And there are sufferings if you're going to live for Jesus. Or there are sufferings because I'm not going to live by the way of the world. You know, there's some that say, well, I want my cake and I want to eat it too, you know. You know, I heard a testimony years ago, and, you know, I'll be kind of dating myself just a little bit here, but there was an old comedian, he's long gone, and his name was Red Fox, right? You know, and he was a real filthy-mouthed man, and then he gained great popularity. He had a big hit TV show and all of that type of thing and, you know, great success, and I heard him back in that day. I heard him on a talk show, and they started talking about heaven. And it got my attention because, you know, I thought, doggone, this guy, he knows something. I mean, he's either got a grandmother or a grandfather, grandparents, maybe a mama, whatever it would be that raised him right in the way of the Lord, because he knew things. It was really quite incredible. He was a very filthy-mouthed man. You know, and that's how he gained his notoriety, you know, is the shock effect, you know, being as filthy as he possibly can, you know, and that's how they did it. That's how he'd done it. But, you know, he got serious, and all of a sudden he said, well, I got it all planned. I got it all planned. I know exactly what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to live for me. I'm going to do what I want to do, you know, and then when I'm laying on my deathbed, and he said these exact words. He said, when I'm laying on my deathbed, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. The Word of God says that God laughs at the plans of the wicked. God laughs at the plans of the wicked. And, you know, they were all having a big hee-hee, ha-ha moment right there, you know, and talking about heaven and all of that type of thing. You know, and, you know, who in the world wants to go to heaven, you know, when the great party's going to be in hell? Good luck. Good luck. There are sufferings of Jesus, you know, and that, you know, you take up your cross. You deny yourself and take up your cross. You know, the joys and the pleasures of serving and following the Lord and saying, nope, I'm not doing that. Nope, I'm not of the world anymore. Nope, I'm not going to walk after wickedness. Nope, I'm not going to walk after ungodliness. Nope, I'm not going the way. I'm not going to be a part of that stuff anymore in my life. You know, and you suffer because you'll get ostracized. You know, you'll get made fun of. You know, you all of that type of thing. Those things come. You know, if people at your work don't know that you're a Christian, shame on you. Shame on you. Well, get out of hiding. Get out of hiding. Get out in the open with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know. You know, because I don't know about you, but I keep hearing in my heart, you know, if you will deny me before men, then I will deny you before my heavenly Father. Now, that's very plain and true, right? Okay, because that person doesn't have a whole heart for Jesus. You hear me there? You know, they're wanting their insurance papers. That's what they're wanting. They're wanting their fire insurance papers, you know, and they think they're going to outsmart God. Well, later on, you know, this Red Fox guy, you know, later on, he, you know, faded from his TV show. And then later on, some odd years later, they brought him back into having a new TV show. I'll never forget this because I never forgot what I saw that day. So many years had gone by. And then it was announced that while filming on the set, that Red Fox dropped to the floor dead before he hit the ground. I think his plan was foiled. Don't go planning in an evil way and think that you're going to be so wise that you're going to outsmart God, because you're not going to outsmart God. Come to Him now and give Him all of your heart and all that you are. Now look at over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 1. And working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive, look at this, the grace of God in vain. Now look here, for He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Now look here, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Wow. You know, when opportunity presents itself, you take advantage of the opportunity at the moment, at the time. When God is pricking your heart, then you follow it. When God is saying, give that to me, when you're feeling bad about something that, you know, that's not like Jesus in your life, you know, bang, that's the time to act. That's the time to act. Oh, I'll put it off tomorrow. I'll put it off tomorrow, or whatever it would be. Or you fall into that lie that says, well, I got to get prepared for that. I got to get prepared for that. I got to get prepared to lay that down, you know. No, you don't. No, you don't. Now, let's go on back. Now, so you see that this birthing process is going on right here. And then come on over here. Let's go back, if you don't mind, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. All he wants is your whole heart. Romans 10. All he wants is your whole heart. Well, you know, now you understand that this is why we walk with the Lord in a fellowship and a relationship. We walk with the Lord in a fellowship and a relationship because you keep yielding your heart. Do you think that if you were 9 years old when you gave your heart to Jesus and was saved, and you're now 55 today, that you have the same heart as you had when you were 9 years old? I don't think so. I don't think so. Do you? Right? It's not a matter of getting saved again, but it is a matter that you keep yielding deeper to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because life changes. You change. You watch over your heart with all diligence, as the word of the Lord says. You keep your heart for Jesus. We talked all about that, you know, that we have been designated as a bride. You know, right now, we've been betrothed, and we have been given the command that we're not to have our heart going to anyone else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, I experienced a bad day, right? You know, yeah, right, oh, so-and-so, good grief, you know, I just can't stand him, you know. I know you've never had those thoughts, but just use it as hypothetical, right? Okay, you know, doggone it. Or you're getting bittered about something. What are you going to do? Something else is after your heart at that very moment, and it will take it over if you will let it. Quit excusing your sins. That I can't help it. Then get saved. Because that's when you enter into the power of God. Not perfect. You're not perfect. You know, that's why also we live of life repentance. We don't talk about repentance too much in the church. You know, we think that repentance is just for the people, you know, that either have backslidden or it's the people that've never been saved. I live a life of repentance. I love repentance, you know, because I'm turning away from the things that would have me, and I'm turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me there? You know, so I take that bitterness that wants to have me, and I'll tell you what, it'll pursue you. It'll pursue you. That lust will pursue you. Whatever it is, it will pursue you. And what you have to do is you have to say, no, no. I'll keep my heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. So there you are. You're giving your whole heart to the Lord continually. You're continually giving your whole heart because there are so many other things that wants to have your heart. People start out good. They don't know that this has been given to them to keep their heart before the Lord. You're not changing yourself. It's this power of the Holy Spirit. It's the abundance of the grace of God that is coming. You're calling on the Lord. You know, that groaning process is going on to bring you to birth in the character and the nature of Jesus. Maybe you got a temper problem. Doggone, it's quiet. Whatever it would be, you know, you don't say, that's just the way I am. You know, not if you belong to Jesus. It may be the way of your flesh, but it's not the way of the Spirit, and it's not of the character and the nature of Jesus. Don't you find it amazing that when Jesus got baptized in the Jordan, the next thing that happened is that he saw the Spirit of the Lord descending upon him, and the word of the Lord says that the way he descended upon him was in the form of a dove. Why wasn't it an eagle? You know? But it wasn't. It was a dove. Now, you see, are you hearing that? You know, and the Holy Spirit at that point anointed Jesus for his earthly ministry. He went out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Where did he go? The Spirit of the Lord, not the devil, but the Spirit of the Lord led him into the wilderness at that particular point. The Word of God says that when he came back after 40 days and nights of being tempted by the devil, that he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Because Jesus never sinned. Well, here's what it means. That means that Jesus was tempted in any and all and every fleshly way that there is to ever be tempted, and he gained the victory. That way, you understand that he had to have victory in all things because that's why he was the perfect sacrifice for our sins, right? You know, the blood and goats and bulls could never cleanse us from our hearts. It could only bring atonement. Atonement means to cover. And so that's why they had to do it year after year after year after year. But now, once and for all, we have forgiveness of sins. We don't have atonement for our sins. Our sins are not being covered, and we got to keep them covered. No, we find forgiveness. And why do we find forgiveness? Because Jesus paid the price. He was that perfect sacrifice. You know, he was like that one-year-old lamb, right? You know, without defect. You know, that they would in the temple, and as Jesus was being examined, at the same time he was being examined, they were examining the Passover lamb. Who can orchestrate stuff like that? Incredible. Incredible. And he was the perfect sacrifice because he was obedient even to the point of death on the cross. Right? Wow. So what the Holy Spirit is doing in you and me is implementing the finished works of Jesus. All by grace. Because you're willing to believe him for it. Look here. Let me go back. Here we are. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Then he explains that. In verse 10, he says, for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. Now, did you see that? Resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses. resulting in salvation. I love this because someone, you know, that answer, someone says, oh, you know, I got to get myself cleaned up a little bit. I got to get better and all of that. You know, I got to get ready for it. You know, I got to get, no, you don't got to get ready for it. Give your heart and believe the Lord. And then that birthing, you know, and the devil will attack you the whole time. You know, oh, you know, I give it up. I give it up. I give this to you, Lord God. You know, I surrendered. I repent of it with all of my heart. And then I turn around and do it again. All right? And then you get attacked because the devil wants you to lay repentance down. He wants you to lay faith down because he knows the grace of God is moving in you. And the Spirit, you think that nothing's happening, but yes, there is something happening. He's turning your desire more acutely toward him. He's making you hot in your heart to be found obedient. Where you were wishy-washy, where before you kind of excused it, where before you kind of ignored it, and now all of a sudden you can't stand it. Who did that? The Spirit did. Now, I can't stand to be like that. I can't stand that to be in my life anymore. I'm not having it anymore. Oh, Lord God! Right? Birthing. You think you're crying out on your own. The devil says, where's God? Where's God? Where's God? I mean, you know, where's God? How come he ain't showed up yet? He's already there. He's already moving. Because the way you'll bear that fruit on the outside is by the transforming power that takes place on the inside. And now let me finish this. And then it says here, look at this, verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. So God's not looking for you to clean up yourself or anything like it. I'm talking to Christian. I'm talking to unbeliever alike. Go forward in Jesus. Go forward in Jesus. Let him have the things that you're afraid of. Let him have the things that you're afraid of. You know, get into the fight for your soul. Get into the fight for your soul. Cry out to the Lord. Believe on the Lord and trust in the promise of God. Trust in the promise of God. Then go on and look what it says again here. And then it says this. Here's verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all. Abounding. Don't you love this promise? I love this promise. You know, you might want to mark this one. Pray about it a little bit. Abounding in riches for all who call upon him. Oh my goodness. We're not talking dollar bills. We're not talking dollar bills. Maybe dollar bills involved. I don't know. Depends on what he's designated and called you for. You know, but at the same time, this is the promise to all. Abounding in riches. You know, abundant life. Good things. Right? From Almighty God. Well, okay. Then he says in 13, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And, you know, when it says that, we've churchy in our definitions of what one scripture stands for, and we can't use it for nothing else after that, you're right? You know, but really, you know, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. Now, I'm not being born again all over again, but the salvation of God is moving in my life. Because where am I going? Where am I going? One day, I'll receive the fullness of my inheritance of sons of God. I will be made like him. Right? We're moving in that way. We're moving in that way. If you're a Christian, you're moving in that way. And I'm going to tell you what. You might as well surrender to God. You might as well surrender to the Holy Spirit. Because when you gave your heart to Jesus, I'm going to tell you right now, God took you serious. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to tell you right now, there are people that things never go right in their life. And the reason they never go right is because they resist God. They gave their heart to Jesus, but they'll never come under that lordship of Jesus Christ. And they're plagued with one problem and one difficulty. Even the saints and the righteous have problems and difficulty. I'm not saying that you don't have any problems or difficulties. But I will tell you, it'll go a lot better under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Oh, we love you and we praise you with all of our heart. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to bear with me a little bit here. Well, praise His name. Praise His name. Let the abundance of the riches of the Lord unfold in your life today. And I'm just going to speak a few faith proclamations over you. Will you prepare your heart to receive from the Lord? These are things that the Spirit of the Lord put on my heart. And may the Lord begin to bless us. I'm making these faith declarations. They'll be released in the realm of the Spirit. Lay hold of them. Receive them. And let the Lord Jesus have His way. I'm going to lift up, first of all, just a few confessions. A few confessions for us to make before the presence of the Lord. And so I'm going to lead you in that right now. And this is the first one. Everybody say, I confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life. I receive the healing hand of the Lord today. I receive deliverance from all captivity today. I receive the abundance of grace that's mine in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to speak these things over us. Praise His holy name. Holy Spirit, thank you for going forth and bringing forth the promise of God right now according to the beloved of the Lord. I speak freedom to those that are bound in the name of Jesus, those that are bound with shackles, those that are bound under prison doors, those that are facing bondages, those that are bound in body and soul and spirit. I speak release to you today in the name of Jesus. I proclaim release to the captives in Jesus' name. I release you from all demonic captivity that is against the saints of God in Jesus' name. All demonic captivity and all bondage be loose now from the beloved of God, and let the freedom of the Lord come into the life and the heart, the thinking and the body of the beloved of God in the name of Jesus. May you be released from all fears, all phobias, all torments. I take authority over every suicidal thought and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I command it to be released in Jesus' name. Night terrors shall be no more. Night terrors be loosed and gone from the beloved of God in the name of Jesus. All demonic oppression, all demonic depression, all hopelessness and despair, I command you to let go of the beloved of God in the mighty, holy, righteous name of Jesus. Let peace flow now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let peace be upon the heart of everyone here in the name of Jesus. Let peace be in mind and thoughts upon all that are here in the holy, righteous name of Jesus. I take authority over all nightmares and I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. The affliction of continual bad dreams be gone in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. Let memories of bad things, bad times, and all woundedness be healed in Jesus' name. Everybody say with me, Lord Jesus, I give up all my woundedness. I'll no longer use it as a crutch. I'll no longer be afflicted by it. I'll no longer be controlled by the past. I proclaim my freedom. I am free now in the name of Jesus. Chronic pain, chronic fatigue be released in the name of Jesus. All mental disorders and afflictions of mental torment be released in the name of Jesus. All rejection issues be released in the name of Jesus. Be released from a spirit of unforgiveness. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I forgive. Today, I choose with my whole heart that I forgive. I receive forgiveness. I grant forgiveness. Unforgiveness will not have a hold on me. In Jesus' name. Let the healing hand of the Lord be upon all sickness, disease, weakness in body, and the healing hand of God upon all hearts. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, and I'll have Kathy and the praise team come. Can you stand and begin to give thanks in receiving from the Lord, from the hand of the Lord? Father, we want to